I want to welcome you back to Yachts, the perfect escape vehicle. Today we're talking about the ideal yacht to get off the grid. And Stephen is going to talk about dinghies. Now, your dinghy on a yacht is like your car, because you, when you're anchored somewhere, you use that to get around, to go to shore, get groceries, go make beer runs, visit your friends, etc. Stephen, you want to talk about dinghies?
Yeah. Well, this is a subject that is very important if you are cruising. You know, you cannot have a good enough dinghy. I'll just give you a little rundown on our dinghy experience, and just so you can understand how things evolved. In South Africa, when we built our first boat, we kind of forgot that we needed a dinghy, because in South Africa, you generally don't anchor out. You go from harbor to harbor. Anyway, we discovered we better get one, so we went and got a dinghy that had an inflatable floor, and it had a seagull motor, which we thought was really cool because we saw that in the movies. We discovered that a seagull only has one moving part, and that's the owner.
And trying to start that thing up every time.
She's still particularly like.
Yeah, that was my favorite part of this dinghy, is me trying to get this thing to start every time. It didn't happen very easily.
It was a rocky relationship, the seagull and Estelle. She was very happy when I threw it over the side eventually. But that little dinghy fortunately got stolen in Madagascar, and that's where we learned about dinghy security. It's not very nice when you're suddenly sitting on your boat and you can't get ashore because you've been slack enough just to leave your dinghy hanging behind on a little piece of line. Very easy for someone to come up, cut the line, and float off with your dinghy. So dinghy security is very important, and we'll get to that in a second. Well, then we thought, well, you know what? We're sick and tired of these dinghies that have got tubes and all the rest of it, so let's get a hard dinghy. So there was actually a backwards move, because we got this little pram and a little 3.3 horsepower Mercury outboard, and that was our dinghy for the longest time.
Yeah, that dinghy, when Stephen and I sat in the dinghy with our provisions, we just about sank. And we were the laughing stock of the entire anchorage. Not a good thing.
So under much duress, I got a dinghy with floorboards this time. So you could actually stand in it. It wasn't like, what do you call those things, lilos? That you're there. Anyway, so then we got one with floorboards, and it was a Zodiac, and a 15-horsepower outboard. So now we're at a high-speed dinghy, which we were very impressed with. We thought we were pretty cool. And we could zip around, go and visit people, get to shore, get out to the reef, go out and fish, and do all the rest of it with our dinghy. So we started improving. But we bought the wrong dinghy. It was a series of dinghies made by Zodiac that they dissolved. They disintegrated. So by the time we got to Greece, that dinghy was looking rather sad. So we just left it on the dock and sailed away. And we finally discovered that it was time to get a real dinghy. And in our opinion, the best dinghy is a rigid inflatable boat. It's a fiberglass hull and floor with tubes, with a decent-sized dinghy that can plane with that two people plus all the groceries plus beer. So very important that you have a powerful engine. So you can get up on the plane, you can get ashore. Strangely enough, when you're going fast, you get less wet than if you're plowing along and getting splashed by every boat that comes screaming past you. So my opinion is that the bigger and the faster the dinghy you can afford and carry, the better. You'll be drier, you'll be happier, and you'll go a lot more places, and you'll enjoy that aspect. But now you've got to really take care of your dinghy, because that's the big issue. Dinghies are a prime target for being stolen. You know, places like Venezuela, we experienced incredible problems with the local fishermen trying to steal the dinghies for the outboards, because obviously in the third world, an outboard's worth a year's salary. So you've got to appreciate and understand this. We always lifted our dinghy up on the davits at night, so your boat should have a really good, easy set of davits. Ours had an electric winch, so we lift it up with an electric winch, which makes life really easy. And it's not a chore to lift it up every night. On top of that, we have a chain that we run through the engine and around the davits. So if anyone touches that dinghy at night, they make a huge noise and you can come out and ask them please to leave. So davits are very important and your dinghy is your car.
I have a little different opinion about dinghies, mainly because the inflatable ribs that I owned always seemed to find nails and barnacles on the docks, and they would deflate at the absolute worst time, like at 10 o'clock at night when you're coming back from the restaurant and, you know, you can't find your dinghy. Well, it's just deflated itself and sunk. So the kind that I really like are these hard catamaran dinghies like Livingston's or Twin V's. The Livingston's are used as rescue boats in the Pacific Northwest. They're very seaworthy. They're very fast. It requires 30% less horsepower to get it up on the same speed as a rib. And you can row them, too, if you like to do that sort of thing. Stephen, let's talk about ease of boarding and loading groceries. Can you address that?
Yeah. Well, there's that famous story of the monohull that was found in the doldrums by, the British Navy, and everyone had drowned. They jumped off the boat, and no one thought to put a ladder down, and no one could get back on board. They were just drifting in the doldrums, and the swim was in order, and you know, I don't know if it's true. It might be urban legend, but it's if you've ever been on a monohull, you'll realize how very, very easily that can happen, because if the ladder's not down, it's just smooth all around, and you can't get very high out the water. So boarding a boat is a pretty important issue. The modern monohulls have very low scoops, so it's got a lot easier. The more traditional boats had a very high stern and flared bow, etc., and so you had to have a very good a boarding ladder. Catamarans are great because you've got two scoops. Generally, you have a ladder in the one that flips over. So you can, it's like being next to a swimming pool. You walk down, stand on the bottom step of the scoop, and you're 6 inches above the water. You can jump in or whatever, or you can just sit there and let your legs dangle. So boarding is important. Catamarans easier than monohulls, but be sure you have really, really good steps. The other issue, of course, is if you come alongside with all your groceries, you've got to have a good place to load your groceries, because sometimes the dinghy's moving at a different motion to the big boat, and so you want to have somewhere you can secure the boat and offload all your beer.
Sounds like some good tips. What about anchors and ground tackle? I understand at many of the cruiser rendezvous and bars, that's what they talk about all the time. Tell us about anchors.
I'm usually the guy at the on the front doing the anchoring, and let me tell you what, that is something that you want to spend good money on. Is a good anchor, appropriate size for your boat, and because if you don't anchor well, you won't sleep that night. So I'll let Stephen tell you about this.
Yep, anchors are probably the single most important thing when it comes to being comfortable when you reach your destination. I found that the pirate anchors or the copies never work as well as the name brands, even if they look identical. I really like to have an anchor that's so big that when I drop it over the side, it makes its own hole in the ocean floor. I don't really... If they say you need a 70-pound anchor, I try and get like a 90-pound anchor. I do like the CQRs, which are plow anchors, and I do like the spades. You get a couple called a Rockner, a Delta, a Boogle. I'm not a big fan of the Bruce because they generally are. I had a big Bruce, and it did a good job for me, but it never really buried itself. And I kind of like to go over and see that anchor has gone under the sand. I know it's not coming out if that's the case. We also carry a Fortress, which is an easy anchor to handle and lug around the deck, and incredibly efficient. I mean, you know, they always say you should never trust an anchor that when the wind blows, its flukes flap around. But this light little anchor has astounded me. It's just an amazing second anchor. I would never have it as my primary anchor. The other thing, obviously, when you got your anchor down, ten times the depth of the water is way better than five times. So I always put out as much chain as I possibly can. I put out so much chain to a fault, because the more scope you have, the more difficult it'll be to pull the anchor out if a gust hits you.
On our website, there's a special article about anchoring, and if you want to go and look at it, go to catamaranguru.com.
Okay, well, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Yachts, the perfect escape vehicle on the Overseas Radio Network.